Welcome to Created, a Blueprint podcast.
I want to be creative on my own terms.
DIY isn't a hobby, it's a lifestyle.
This is what I want to do.
How do you stay inspired to create?
We sit down with designers, creators, doers, and makers who made it.
Did you want to have a career that was creative? When did you make this a business?
It's just what I've always loved to do. I don't know why.
We find out what sparked their passion and how they turned a hobby into a full-blown creative career.
I was this 22-year-old kid who just got a job at a comic book school.
Keep being willing to expand yourself.
You can do whatever you want,
especially as a creative where the industry is always changing.
I love hearing people's stories.
Let's do it.
In this episode, Christy Glass talks with food photographer and videographer Brooke Lark.
Hi, Brooke.
Hi, Christy.
Talk to me about your creative journey. I know you're a mother and always wanted to be that.
Yes.
But did you want to have a career that was creative? Just talk about sort of how everything came together for you.
Okay.
Starting at an early age.
Oh, okay. Well, that is a good question, Miss Christy. So, no, I never wanted a career. I got a degree in elementary education, which was like the closest that I could come to getting schooling and being a mother. Mm. And so that was kind of my plan, was like I was just going to be a really fun mom. Mm-hmm. And so I never thought that I would work. I never paid much attention to like creative careers. I did for a hot second in college want to be a newscaster. Mm. And so thought about that for a minute. I had a teacher tell me I should be a senator. So I thought, that'd be nice. But at the end of the day, I didn't really want to do any of it. And so, you know, just kind of got my degree and started having babies and life was good. And I think that, sorry guys. And I think that I'm a naturally creative person. And so I was always, as a kid, pulling the neighborhood together and putting on plays and selling tickets to the plays and, you know, creating a bow tie company where we would like walk around the neighborhood and sell bows. And so I was always like doing things that I could then kind of turn into a business. Mm. But I didn't think much of it because I just thought that was like what you did. Mm. Really dive headfirst into having babies and being a mom. And then kind of unexpectedly, I was with a friend having tea. It was like stay-at-home mom's tea, and we would get together once a month. And she really wanted to be like a magazine person. And so she would read magazines all the times, and then she wanted to make the cookies. Like,
say that back just one sentence.
She wanted to be a magazine person.
So one day I'm having tea and it's with this very fancy friend. She actually started a blog called Sophistamom and, you know, very sophisticated in the way she did everything. Like she never just made a cookie. It was always like magazine quality cookie, mm-hmm. just like stunning. So we're sitting over a table that she has set with like a full English tea, you know, just sipping our little bone china.
And Sophistamom.
Yes, with Sophistamom. And she says, have you heard that like people make money on these like blog thingies? Mm-hmm. And I had so prided myself in wasting no time at all on blogs because I was a mother and I was only a mother. And what I did was I did mother things. Mm-hmm. And I was really like, oh no, I haven't really paid much attention to blogs, but I am intrigued because mm-hmm. at the time, my husband made quite a tiny amount of money and we were raising all of these kids. And so the thought of me being able to make some kind of money working from home seemed really brilliant. And so I said to her, do you think that I could make $500 a month? Because I figured that would be enough to do like dance classes and basketball lessons for the kids. And she was like, maybe. So I was like, okay. So knowing nothing about blogging, I went home, pulled up blogspot.com, typed in conversationswithacupcake.blogspot.com because this was just the title that had like come up on my heart.
It just came.
I knew nothing about branding.
Yeah. Conversations with the cupcake.
Yeah, so long. Like how many characters is that? Like 4,000 characters. It's like longer than a tweet.
Also, I love cupcakes, but they've never spoken to me.
No, but mine did. So yeah, so I kickstart this blog. I have no clue what I'm doing.
Did you know what you wanted to even have on it?
No.
Okay.
Oh, that just, and that.
Let's just start it.
Right. Yeah. So I get it up and now I'm like, oh no, I have the responsibility of like every day I have to put something on. And so, you know, I'm in the comfort of my home. I take a picture of like the guest room that is kind of cute. but I'm just not a home decorator. Then I'd like take a picture of my outfit, but like I'm definitely not a clothing person. So I kind of about a weekend realized that the one thing that I did that was really interesting was every day I just made dinner, because I would just look in the fridge and like put things together. And I had this realization, well, if I write down what I'm putting in the pot, that's a recipe, you know?
Yeah.
And so I was like, oh, okay, well, every day then, that's good. Now I don't have to think about what I'm putting on the blog. I'll just write down what I'm putting in the bowl.
Yeah.
And so very quickly, this was even before we had the term food blogger.
Yeah.
I started a food blog.
Yeah.
So Conversations with Cupcake was kind of, prophetic.
Yeah, prophetic. Yeah. This
little
foreshadowing.
It was little predictive. Did I know it was all about cupcakes.
Yeah.
So I started the blog, and within 6 months, I was making $500 a month on advertising. And I was like, you know, the biggest, now that I've achieved my greatest dream, I've arrived.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, was it advertising that you had to seek out, or was it just sort of installed in the Blogspot
Yeah.
app?
So that's a good question. So this was kind of before, sorry. So this was kind of before advertising had become the well-oiled machine that it is now for blogs. I started to figure out really quickly that the best thing that I could do on my blog was connect with other people who had big blogs. And so I started kind of hacking marketing and creating collaborations. And through that, my audience started to expand. And someone in my audience had a business, really liked what I was doing, and said, can I pay you $500 a month for 6 months to just put my sticker up on the side of your blog? And I was like, why, yes, you can, you know? Mm-hmm. And so that's kind of where my first advertiser was, someone who just watched my blog and read my blog. And then from there, I was hired by Betty Crocker to be on their first team of bloggers. And so actually got recipe development training through Betty Crocker. That was about a year in.
That's crazy. I don't even know that that... I don't even know that that exists.
Like, yeah,
Betty Crocker
yes.
has recipe development training.
Yeah. So in the early days of blogging, just as Betty Crocker and all of the websites had to go online, right?
Mm-hmm.
Nobody had a website. And so all of a sudden they have a website and they had in-house creative, but they were trying to like access this new world of like content creators.
Yeah.
And so they hired on a team. And we're like, well, if they're going to work for us, we need to teach them like the ways of the Betty Crocker.
Yeah.
And so they flew us out and we sat down with their Betty Crocker test kitchen and they showed us how they write recipes. And so that was kind of my first introduction into like, oh, now I'm actually writing, like now I know how to actually write a recipe.
Mm.
And where, then it just kind of started building from there.
Where is here? Where is Betty Crocker's?
They're in Minneapolis.
Oh.
Yeah.
Now, how did that feel to go on a business trip?
Yes.
As a mom who didn't want a career.
Yeah.
What was that
moment
like? It
was so exciting. I remember the first time I walked into the airport and I could not stop smiling. I was so just like, like I felt like I was in, you know, a scene from like Sex and the City. Like my life was so glamorous now.
And I just going to Minneapolis.
Yeah.
Betty Crocker.
Exactly. Me and Betty. And so, yeah, I just remember it felt so amazing because everything that happened was so much bigger than what I had ever expected. So I'd be like, oh my gosh, this is so weird. You know, and I generally feel like that has continued to be my career.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that happens a lot with creative careers is like, you kind of don't know that options exist
yeah.
until you just say, this is what I'm gonna do. And then all of a sudden things start to find you because you're there, you know, finding them, creating
mm-hmm.
them.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, so I feel like a lot of my career has been like, weird. Who knew that was a thing?
Yeah.
You know?
When I took my first business trips as an actor, I remember my husband would say things like, oh, aren't you so excited you could just sleep on the plane? I'm like, are you kidding me? This is free time. I'm going to read an entire book. I'm going to knit. I'm going to watch a movie.
I'm going to
do all
the
these things.
Done.
Yeah, I'm going to have like soda and it's not going to spill. I'm not going to go to the bathroom four times.
Oh,
I'm not
yeah.
going to have to give anyone a puke back.
It's like, so simple.
I'm so excited about this trip by
yes.
myself.
Yes. Oh, it's like it was total luxury.
Yeah.
Once on one of my trips, maybe 3 years in, I had barely been able to hack it together so that my husband could watch the kids. And I flew into New York and it was 2 days in New York and they put us up in this big, beautiful hotel. And then the Snowmageddon hit, and I ended up stuck in New York for 3 additional days. And it was like the most amazing thing, you know, like, yes. Well, I can't go anywhere.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
All the mommy guilt was gone. I ate cupcakes every morning for breakfast. I walked the streets and ate pizza at night, you know. Yeah, it really was. And I think actually that ended up, like, as luxurious as that sounds, it ended up being a lot of like important internal work for me to realize that I could still be a mom and be a good mom. And I could find a place for myself and my creativity and who I was as a woman, and kind of keep growing as a human. Because I think otherwise I would have kind of stayed in this comfort zone of like, I'm taking care of people and that's enough. And I realize now, like, I can do that and fulfill that and still also do really exciting, crazy, zany, wild things. And, you know, and do both of them relatively well.
You're listening to Created, a Blueprint podcast. Inspired? Fuel your own creativity at myblueprint.com, a home for makers, crafters, artists, and anyone who lives for the joy of creating by hand. You'll find projects, classes, shows, and more to help you get and stay in your peak creative zone. From crochet to cake decorating and everything in between, it's all at myblueprint.com.
So after Betty Crocker,
yes.
When did other things start trickling in, like the photography?
Yeah.
Talk really, about what happened next.
Okay, yeah. So when I was hired on to Betty Crocker, I was not a photographer at all. And photography did not come naturally. Like I was, you know, I think a lot of times you hear people say like, oh, I just always carried a camera with me. Or, oh, I just was always filming things. That was not me. And so Betty Crocker was largely recipe development. But in the process of that, I realized that if I took a good picture, it was better than a bad picture. And so I was like, well, I guess that I should kind of try. So I remember reading Bakerella, who was just huge at the time. I read what she had to shoot her pictures and kind of got that equipment. And I shot on auto for the next 5 years until one day a friend who was a wedding photographer came over and said, why are you shooting on auto? You're killing me. And I was like, I just don't know. And mm-hmm. She was like, show me where you shoot. So I showed her. I pull up a little chair right next to my kitchen table and I put everything on there and then I take a picture and she's like, oh, come here. So she drags me into my front room and she's like, this is south facing light. This is where you need to shoot.
Yeah.
All, you know, because this stays steady through the day. And just walked me through kind of 3 basic principles that I needed to kind of unlock good photography. She switched my camera to manual and said, I will now teach you about the exposure triangle. And you need to learn how to do this like a professional. Mm-hmm. You know, she's like, if you're getting paid, you're a professional. So act like one.
Mm.
And so that really started to unlock my like, oh, I can do this really well and I can unlock these kind of new languages that give me more control over my art. And so, but I mean, that took years. It took years to get to that point. And then once I figured out like, oh, okay, now I know how to use a camera. Then I wanted to really push that and learn how I could create photography that was just truly stunning, you know, but it came slowly.
How does it feel to have a friend tell you something like that?
Oh.
For example,
yes.
When I was growing up, what was modeled to me was if a friend sort of took a step out of the comfort zone to say to another like mom friend, like, actually this, I have a tip that could help you with something that I can see you're struggling with.
Yes.
That was sort of frowned upon in my world.
Yes, yes.
And so I think it's so refreshing and unique when women can help each other,
yes,
with something that they have,
yes,
and share that.
Yes.
So was any of that uncomfortable or were you just very grateful to your friend?
Yes. Oh, that's a great question.
Do you know what I'm getting at?
Well, are you a question asker anyway? Because I am not. I was not. Like,
maybe
Yeah. I was kind of a like, I'll figure it outer, but I was not a question asker. Mm. And so I think that for many, many years kept me in this very tiny space of like, if someone offered something to me, I was kind of embarrassed, like, mm-hmm, I should have known or whatever.
See, that's what I'm talking about.
Yeah. And so I was incredibly grateful to her, but I was more grateful that she just offered it up and gave it to me because I never would have asked for it.
Mm-hmm.
But realizing how much she could unlock in 20 minutes was the start of me realizing it was okay to get humble. It was okay to get curious. It was okay to ask questions. And actually, if I was going to grow, I needed to get in front of people who could unlock things in 20 minutes for me. And so that really started to become the central part of first the way that I started to grow as a creative, because I started to become hungry for mentors. And then second, how I wanted to teach, because if you were going to sit down with me, I wanted to cut the embarrassment. I wanted to cut the know-it-all, and I wanted to like get right to the thing that's like, girl, I got you. These three things will change everything. Because there always are those secrets that just like unlock it.
Yeah.
And so,
yeah. You did that to me recently. You just said, no, you're wrong. And this is what's right.
TikTok.
Yeah.
Yeah. And by the way, that was about if you're going to make video this year or any year, if you are online and an online creator, you make video and you put it on every social channel that accepts video.
Yeah. Not every. Okay. So next. So you became a really good photographer.
I think I'm still learning, but I've definitely had some successes.
And is that now the new trajectory? I mean, are you still doing recipes on a blog called Conversations with the Cupcake? By the way, where is Conversations with the Cupcake? Can we find it?
It died. Yes. About 4 years ago, I was so burdened by all of that old content.
Yes.
It had to be maintained and fixed and SEO'd. And I was like, you know, it doesn't serve me anymore. And so I just moonlighted that little URL and kept it up for about a year and then just let it die. I actually had someone yesterday, people still will email and say, where did that recipe for Hawaiian meatballs go?
Oh.
And I'm like, I'm sorry, you should have printed it.
You should have printed it.
It's gone.
So what does Brooke Lark look like today?
Yeah, so Brooke Lark has kind of morphed into my primary creative outlet and client work is I do food photography and food videography. So we are a creative content company for people who want beautiful food content. And then I have built a group of 10,000 food photographers and videographers and creatives and kind of turned that into a mentorship site where we just, you know, it's all about like unlocking the things. And so everything here, like at Blueprint, where we teach you in just a few lessons how to create beautiful flat lay photos so that you can just like upgrade your Instagram game instantly. That all kind of feeds into this other side. So if I'm not creating, then I'm teaching people and trying to teach them quickly how to like get up and running and pass that imposter syndrome.
Which part do you like better?
Oh, that's a good question. I need both.
Thank you. You like...
I know.
You like both?
I need both.
Okay.
I both need to create and teach. And in that, I think I also need to learn. You know, I still need to feel like I'm not the expert or the know-it-all. Because in creative fields, they're so massive and connected. And there are a million ways to do the same thing. And so learning from a lot of people, always staying hungry... I like all of that.
Talk about, you mentioned being a good mother and being a good businesswoman. Talk about the challenges in that. Because you have four children.
Yes, we have a busy household.
Yeah.
You know, I think that my children have helped me realize that their life is their life. And so all of these stories that I had in my head about the way things should be, are things that I made up. My daughter came home the other day and said, she had three friends with her. This is my mom, she's famous. And we always have food in the house. And she's like, you know, let's make a cheese board. And it was like very Brooke Lark. welcome to the food blogging house, you know?
Yeah.
And I just kind of had this moment of like, oh, I thought that I needed to be all of these things to be the right kind of mom. And actually what I need to be is myself and present and accessible and loving. And then all the other stories take care of themselves.
So, I like that.
Yeah.
Sometimes I get down on myself for not being present enough or not being as into my kids as other moms. But I think you're right. I think it's better if I am my best self because that is the best lesson I can teach.
Yes.
Like,
yes.
Through example.
Yes.
Yes, be accessible to them and help them figure out who that is in them.
Exactly.
But I think the best model is, look, this is what I'm doing to be my best. I have one life, one body. This is what I'm doing.
Yeah.
I want that for you also.
Exactly.
Right?
Yeah, I always say I'm not raising children. I'm raising independent humans.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's not my job to coddle. It's not my job to take away the pain or the struggle. It's my job to stand as a lighthouse and show you how a person who is healthy and passionate navigates life, and doing that with you here in tow, but knowing that I'm preparing you to stand on your own, you know, so.
Brooke Lark, I think we need to have blueprint classes on mothering from you.
And you.
Yeah, I don't know about me. I mean, I'm just about Halloween costumes.
I don't do those. We'll make a great team.
Yeah, I think it's going to be great. Sister wives.
Oh, let's do it.
Where can we find you in the world and on Blueprint? Talk about the Blueprint.
Yes, so I have two classes. Well, I have a docu-series where you can actually follow me for a week of my life. It is called Five Course Photo, and you can see kind of behind the scenes of a work-from-home creative mom. It's wild shenanigans and adventures, and it's a lot of fun. And then you can also take a flat lay course in our recently launched Flat Lay Your Life. And so again, that is like not just for foodies, that is for everyone. If you want to take those beautiful overhead shots on Instagram, Blueprint. Mm-hmm. We got it. Yeah.
And what about the websites? Because it's not Conversations with the Cupcake anymore.
No, do not go there. Although you can find some of the old pictures and they are terrible. So don't even Google it.
Yeah, don't.
I am at brooklark.com. So easy to find.
And same on Instagram.
Same on Instagram, same on Facebook. If you type in Brooke Lark, you will find me.
What's next for Brooke Lark?
Oh, that's a good question. Ooh, a big 2019 that may or may not involve a magazine.
Ooh.
Oh, we'll see.
Like with real paper and ink?
Yes. Yeah.
Wow. Sophista mom. What was her name? She would just be...
She'd be rolling in her grave with her pretty cookies right now.
Whatever happened to Sophista mom?
She's actually doing book events now. So she came about.
Okay. Yeah. Well done. Thank you so much, Brooke, for this lovely conversation.
Thank you. I adore you.
Let's do it again.
Oh, anytime.
Bye.
Thank you for listening to Created, a Blueprint podcast. Check out even more in-depth interviews with your favorite creators at myblueprint.com.